The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome musical guest Redline Chemistry. I also cover the top movies at the box office, story time with Ryan, and an assortment of cheese. All this and more on Revelator. Welcome to Revelator. I'm your host, Ryan. Thanks for joining me, as always. You know, we've done a total of about 114 shows?
Yeah, 114.
114 shows. And that's dating back to the old show, Unsigned, for those of you who've been with us that long. And if you have, we thank you for it. But this is the first time in 114 shows, in all the years we've been doing this, that Mike and I have actually been in the studio together as he's wrestling with a yoga ball right now. I kid you not. And first time we've been in the studio together. I'm actually at the Omnis.tv studios with Mike. And it's been a pleasure, man. It's been too long since we've actually been in the same room together doing a show.
It has. I don't know, man. It's one thing to do it remote, but when you're in the same room, there's energy right. That you can't get, you know, via Skype or friend Skype.
Oh, good old Skype.
The bane of our existence.
So Skype is like, you know, like that cousin you just want to put in a headlock and just give a noogie like you've never given a noogie before, you little son of a...
You're being pretty lenient. A noogie would be a starting...
That's the start of the hazing, actually.
I'm talking figure four, a half Nelson.
Atomic wedgie swirly. Atomic, go.
Yeah. At the same time.
Yep.
Two-man job.
Yeah. But no, it's going to be in studio, and again, 114 shows, so we're just going strong, and we've got a great guest tonight, Redline Chemistry, really cool up-and-coming band from Kansas City. Really cool dude. Brett, the singer, is going to join us, so definitely stick around for that. But I want to talk about, this kind of falls right into story time with Ryan, and you've known me for a long time, Mike, about the, you know, my radio career, up and down as it's been, you know, but this story actually struck me. This is, I don't know if this is one of those real stories. One of those things kind of hard to confirm if it's a real story or not, but even if it's, not true, it's still pretty hilarious. It says, dear son, although I believe that, you know, it's well and good and healthy for you to be, you know, bashing the bishop and spanking the monkey, I would appreciate it if you did not use my personal lubricants, or my lotions. And so I bought you a personal lubricant so you can go ahead and wax your dolphin. Sign, love mom.
Was he, by any chance, was he using Jerkins lotion?
I don't know if he's using Jerkins or not. I mean, I've got a bottle of lotion he can use, I guess. You know, my mom gave me a bottle of lotion that, you know, we talked about it the Christmas show, but the story time with Ryan actually dates back to my very, very first time ever being on the radio.
Oh,
I'm actually still in high school. And I was working as an intern at WRRO AM 1440, Sports Talk. Northeast Ohio, and I'm moving stuff, but in the morning show there, it was my job to shadow the morning show because I wanted to be a morning show host, and ended up being, you know, I did some mornings, but anyway, so Big Jim Wilson is the morning show guy at AM 1440 Sports Talk, and you know, some funny stuff too, and I got to go in there. It's the first interview I ever did in my life, and I'm 17, 18 years old. And I go in there and I ask my questions and I'm nervous. You know, I've never been on the radio. I'm there. And he's, you know, Big Jim Wilson was a big guy. You know, you met Big Jim Wilson. He's a big dude. The guy had his own collection of broken chairs. I didn't call him Big Jim Wilson for nothing. You know, he was probably 350 on a good day. You know what I mean? You know, he was a hot dog shop visit in a Dunkin' Donuts, donut and a coffee away from 375, you know?
Yeah.
But, so I do all my questions and inquiries, and you know, and I'm, you know, I'm a little nervous, and I'm asking my questions. And mind, this is being recorded, and I have to play this in front of my class that I'm in. So you know, he's like, "Oh well, you know, I answered all your questions, Ryan. I appreciate you coming on. You seem like a nice young man, you know." And then he hits me with it. What's he hit me with? The question, the masturbation question, at 17 years old. He goes, he asks me some other questions. He kind of leads me in. He, you know, tags me along with it, you know, slowly tugging on the rope, and he pulls me in. I'm stuck. I'm alive on the radio. There's nothing I can do. He goes, so, he's like, I remember when I was 17, I didn't have a lot of luck with ladies. So I used to, spend a lot of time in the shower. He's like, you spend a lot of time in the shower? He's like, you a soap guy? He's like, you more of a soap guy or a lotion guy? And I'm just like deer in headlights, 17 years old on the radio. I have no idea what to say. I'm like, so I answer. I'm like, I soap sometimes, So I'm like, and he's like, well, you got to be careful with that. He's like, I used to use a lot of soap too. He's like, it chafes. You got to be careful. You got to time that out correctly. You don't want to spend a whole lot of time with the soap and the shower. He's like, one, your parents are going to kind of lead on, why is this kid taking 25 minute showers all the time? So I was like, well, thanks for the advice. I appreciate that. I'm just completely embarrassed, then he wraps it up and we do a couple other things, but that's the only thing I can remember of all the things that he asked me. I'm sure he asked me about what I want to do in radio and all those things, but the only thing I got out of that experience, my first radio experience, was talking about jerking off with soap.
Did your class actually listen to it?
We actually had to listen to it. And I was in a small special class for entertainment and marketing, and I had to go in and play this for him. And the look on the faces of my fellow students was interesting, because they were, I wouldn't say they were goody two shoes, but okay, now F it. Yeah, they were. Yep. They really were. I mean, they were around pretty tight. Now, my teacher thought it was hilarious that that Big Jim Wilson and the guys from AM 1440 played that joke on me on air. Awesome. It's not like we're in some side room and I'm doing the interview, at his desk in his office. No, we're live on air. 8, 9 o'clock in the morning for that drive commute. Nothing embarrassing more about a 17-year-old boy talking about masturbating with soap to a man he's only met probably 3 or 4 times, that was my that story time with Ryan. That's the very first time I ever interviewed anybody on the radio. And
I have a question for you, though.
Yeah.
You had a show on AM 1440.
I did.
The Unsigned Hour.
Yes.
Great show. I used to stop in whenever I could to be in studio to experience it live. And I remember after your show, they had another show. It was called Teen Talk, and it was two female hosts. I think you ran the board.
I was forced to produce that show. Yes.
Did you ever consider running your masturbation interview just during the middle of Teen Talk? Like, oh, technical error.
No, but I did. I remember one time Big Jim Wilson called in on Easter Sunday, and I actually got reprimanded for this one, but, he called in on Easter Sunday, and, mind you, Easter Sunday on AM radio. And, he calls in as the Easter Bunny.
Really?
And he was like, I gave everyone nice candy. I hope everybody found their eggs and stuff. And I said, hey, Easter Bunny, I didn't get any candy at all. I would have settled for a chocolate penis. And he actually refrained from laughing because he thought it was actually funny. But as the program director also of AM 1440, I was also reprimanded because during the Teen Talk show, you should not be talking about chocolate penises.
Oh, you called him during Teen Talk, right?
Yeah. So I was like, well, I was forced to produce the show, and I don't get to crack the mic very often, and chocolate penis came out of my mouth. So,
well, it's better than going in your mouth.
I guess, right? Yeah. I guess it is, right? Yeah. So better than chocolate penis. Everything's great with chocolate cake, isn't that? But
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But
that is great.
Yeah, so that brings up good memories. AM 1440 there, and for those who maybe listening in the Northeast Ohio area, you can, you probably are going, hey, I remember that old station, or not, I don't know. But well, that's story time with Ryan times two tonight. Chocolate penis Teen Talk story, and masturbation with soap. So
nice, classy.
That's how we roll here on the Revelator while I'm in the studio. I just jump the thing off the track as fast as I can. You get me in the studio, man, you're gonna be like, just go back to your own studio. Get out of here. You crazy ass. But here's, speaking of crazy, this I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this story now, and this is the guy in Pennsylvania who I don't know how to put it. I guess just say it, and that is say cheese. This guy likes to masturbate with cheese. I don't know what the other way to say it. I mean, the guy says, I developed this fetish to help me with my sexual urges. I found that women tend to like dairy products, so I settled on cheese to represent the girl. Thus, I started having sex with cheese, he says. I like to use Swiss cheese, and I like to wrap the slices of cheese around my penis and then masturbate. So,
all right, continue.
moving on. The thing is, this is like his Match.com profile, this guy that I found on Huffington.
What?
Yeah, this is an actual like thing. So they're trying to find this guy. I don't know if they've found him or not. And he said he's tried different types of cheese. He says, most women have milky complexions, so girls are soft and smooth. So he picked Swiss cheese because he thought that represents a woman's skin more, which if that's not creepy, ladies, I don't know what is. I mean, if a guy comes up to you and says, you have a nice white milky skin, just like Swiss cheese.
if he says it like that, maybe.
You're right.
But if you got Brad Pitt saying it, maybe the women would like to be called Swiss cheese complexion.
Would you like to rub some cheese on my penis?
That's cheese. That might be more of like an eHarmony type right, profile.
Maybe it isn't.
Because that's about compatibility there.
We get this guy an adult friend finder,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you might as well put him on Craigslist while you're at it.
Right. Yeah. Just get him a Craigslist ad. Wonder if like his misconnections Craigslist thing is like, he's like, dear white milky skinned female at Giant Eagle, aisle 4 checkout. I saw you buying a block of Swiss cheese and I couldn't help it but wonder what it would be like if you shredded it and just rubbed it on my balls and jerked me off with it.
All right.
Okay, it's official. I'm the Swiss cheese milky guy. No,
you know
I'm
what
not,
though?
But
maybe pepper jack. Has he tried pepper jack?
Pepper jack, a little habanero cheese,
add a little heat to the moment.
Yeah, just spice it up.
You
want to spice it? Well, it's the same. It's white cheese, and you put a little pepper on it, spice it up. I guess that comes later in the relationship, when things have gotten a little dull, the Swiss cheese isn't quite working for you anymore. Yeah. And then you're like, you know what, baby? Let's get the pepper jack. Let's splurge a little bit this week and get the pepper jack.
Yeah, I think a combination, a little pepper jack and a little bit of like maybe some Velveeta.
Yeah.
Nacho cheese.
Yeah, nacho.
You know what I mean?
For any like special occasions when the kids are away on the weekends, that type of thing, all right, let's bust out the pepper jack.
Yeah.
Maybe mix them together and melt it kind of like a dip.
This kind of makes sense though, because there is a shortage of Velveeta cheese right now.
Maybe this guy he's a hoarder of Velveeta cheese. That's like his backup plan,
He's got like 30 refrigerators all out in his garage. Yeah.
And some power girl's outages. Head too, probably, but.
Well, of course. That's kind of like it. Locks of hair, right? Maybe he collects, women's toenails. I don't know. If you're fucking cheese, sorry. I just have to say.
Yeah.
If you're getting intimate with cheese, you got to have some kind of body parts, hidden somewhere.
Right. I mean,
natural progression.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, very odd. Masturbating. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. If you're using cheese and then driving around showing people, this guy is driving around somewhere in Pennsylvania. I wonder if he goes to like Amish country in Pennsylvania and picks out the cheese. He likes to watch them actually make the cheese too.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, those Amish girls, the way they churn that.
You know what?
Make that cheese. Oh yeah.
Who's to say he doesn't work at a cheese factory?
Mm.
Right. I mean, he's very intimate with his knowledge of cheese. He's wrapped multiple types of cheese around his genitals.
Is that a Colby? Oh. This guy just goes to the deli and he's like, oh, Colby.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, Colby.
Monster.
The texture, the pattern. I mean, when I see Colby, I get a little excited,
It is a hard cheese, though.
It is hard cheese. Is that a Munster?
Yeah.
Isn't that a Munster cheese? The blue cheese. I don't know if he's like a blue cheese crumble guy or not. I mean, that's a little weird, All right. We've probably gone too far with the whole masturbating cheese talk there.
Wait, hold on. Bringing up the conversation, I believe, is going too far.
Right. We've surpassed that. So we're moving on tonight. And this is what you get, ladies and gentlemen, when you get Ryan in studio with Mike. This is what happens. And also, I see a headline here that says Kate Blanchett slams Matthew McConaughey. I'm sure she did. All right. Now let's take a look at this week at the movies. Top 10 moving all the way up from number 1 like we always do. It's number 10, Devil's Due at $2.7 million.
August, 5 million. The Wolf of Wall Street, who, if you follow me on Twitter, Ryan_Unsign, don't go see that movie, Ryan. It's full of naked women and filth, and I still have yet to see it, and I want to. 5.4 million. American Hustle at 7 million. I, Frankenstein, which looks like a big pile of I clap. 8.6 million. Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit at 9 million. The movie Frozen, absolutely dig that movie. 9.12 million. The Nut Job. I'm not sure. I don't think that's a kid's movie. I'm not sure. 12.1 million. I've dated a few nut jobs, though. Lone Survivor, 12.9. And Ride Along, 21.3 million. You know what? Why? Every time I see the advertisement for Ride Along and they say, Kevin Hart's the funniest guy in America, I want to throw up just a little bit. Just a little. Blech. Ugh. Funniest man in America, my ass. Okay, hey, you know what? We got a great guest tonight. That is Redline Chemistry from Kansas City. The lead singer, Brett, will be joining us in just a moment. I'll tell you what, listen to this track. This is off their brand new album titled Tug of War. This is the song Tug of War. It's Redline Chemistry here on Revelator. That's Tug of War on Revelator about the latest album, Tug of War, by Redline Chemistry. I'm joined now by the lead singer, Brett. Hey, man, thanks for taking the time out. We appreciate it. I know we've been kind of playing phone tag here the last couple days, but we finally got this locked in, have you on the show, and I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Definitely a pleasure, man. I tell you what, let's start off with the new album. First off, congratulations. I really dig the album, man. I've been jamming it quite a bit in the truck at the house and at work and all kinds of places. You know, I really dig it. Talk to me about the writing process compared to the last album, Dying for a Living. What was the process going in and making this album, you know, and kind of, you know, evolving as a band? What's that process like for you guys as far as the writing is concerned?
You know, with Dying for a Living, we had just been signed, and we kind of just jumped in the studio and we put all those songs together in just a matter of months and recorded the album in a matter of months. And, you know, the goal was just to get on the road and get on the scene. But, touring for a year and a half or more on that record, allowing the band to kind of actually settle into a national kind of slot, it allowed us to get, better positioning ourselves as writers and working together. And when we came together to write Tug of War, it was a completely different situation. And then we were also able to bring in Nick Raskulinics, which is he's an amazing producer and an amazing person. And, collectively the band worked on this record, you know, more, together we were able to work on not independent ideas coming off, you know, we would get in a room and we would all put our heads together we'd come across ideas. We'd put together a ton of songs. We'd get feedback from Nick and, you know, he would join in almost like a sixth member of the band, and it just created a real cohesive environment and it was real positive. And we were able to, you know, write a ton of music, more music than we did on the previous record. And, you know, a lot of songs got, you know, canned or different ideas, you know, turned out different than they originally were intended. And, you know, songs like The Fighter, I mean, that song ended up turning out completely different than it was ever intended to be written. And that's just kind of the way songs happen. Sometimes they evolve on their own, but overall, it was a great experience. And, you know, being able to work at a high level with a guy like Nick and, you know, being on a better, you know, a little bit higher level because of the last record, you know, it just kind of gave us all a lot of encouragement, and we're excited to have it out, and the feedback has been amazing, and we just hope that it keeps kind of climbing and getting exposure.
Well, but I'd say the record's great, man. Anybody who hasn't heard, I encourage you to go out and check it out. Obviously you talked about, you know, being on the road and, you know, off the first record, Dying for a Living, and then kind of going back to the studio. Obviously, you know, playing with other bands and stuff and seeing how, you know, other bands kind of carried themselves. Is there any band out there that you guys have played with that kind of, you know, maybe gave you some advice or, you know, was like, hey, man, what do you guys do? You know, is there anything like that that goes on the road for you guys?
I mean, we're constantly, you know, rubbing shoulders with a lot of successful bands that we respect and idolize. And, you know, we've played so many of the big festivals and, you know, we've had that opportunity to play with so many bands that we love and so many bands that are really doing great things. You know, I can't really think of anyone in particular, but we're always, you know, we're always watching those types of bands and always, you know, kind of taking advice from them and paying attention and, you know, figuring out what exactly they're doing that's working and, you know, what do they do on a performance level? What do they do on, you know, a publicity level? You know, how do they carry themselves? How do they treat fans? How do they treat bands? How do they treat radio? And just kind of, you know, being very observant of all that. And I've never really had any bad experiences. I mean, most of the bands out there, they're all trying to do the same thing. And, you know, everybody, you know, there's always kind of can be competition. And I mean, you know, there's always attitude and you always want to do the best that you can, but I've always had a great experience with other bands and, you know, a lot of the big bands as well. So.
Very cool. And I think that's, I think pretty common. A lot of bands we've talked to have, it seems to be a common theme. Everybody's kind of out there looking out for one another for the most part. And everyone's pretty cool. There's not too many, you know, disputes and, you know, arguments and, you know, people trying to get back at one another for whatever reason. There's no pettiness, basically, which is always good to hear about. Now, kind of switching back, you know, obviously playing live shows. This album, vocally, I would imagine, is kind of a challenge for you. Also shows your diversity as a singer. Is there,
you know, come a time, you know, kind of pacing yourself, getting used to playing these songs live in front of crowds. Do you have any pre-show rituals to kind of, you know, save your voice or prep your voice or anything like that when you're out live?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm on tour, I drink tons and tons of water, honey water, stuff that I do on a regular basis, like that, just trying to take care of it. But pre-show, I mean, I just do, I generally drink a lot of warm honey water, and I do, you know, 30 to 45 minutes worth of, you know, vocal warm-ups. I've, you know, over the years have taken plenty of vocal lessons and had vocal coaches, and I do a set of warm-ups and things like that before a show to get ready and stretch and get my body ready, and then go out and do the best I can.
Very cool, man. My vocal pre-ritual for shows is usually just a shot of Fireball, so maybe I should.
Well, my if you would have asked me that about five or six years ago, my pre-ritual would have been a shot and a few beers, but that's proven to be detrimental over the years when you're trying to have a consistent, consistent performance.
Right. Now, as a singer, obviously, I think all singers, all musicians have influences or people they look up to. Is there any singers, you know, that you recall, you know, maybe even as a youth that maybe your parents introduced you to that you're like, oh, you know, I really dig that? Or is there any singers currently out there today that you kind of like, wow, that guy is, you know, really amazing as a vocalist?
Growing up, I was big into the, you know, 70s stuff, also the 90s, Stone Temple Pilots and, you know, Nirvana. I learned how to play guitar watching Nirvana, you know, Unplugged and things like that. I've always kind of leaned towards bands with vocalists. I actually was a huge fan of Extreme because I really liked Gary Cherone's voice. I've always been a Tool fan. But going back to Jim Morrison, huge Jim Morrison fan. Queen. I love Chino from Deftones.
Right.
And then, you know, in this day and age, obviously he's doing pretty good. But, Corey Taylor's kind of moved into that realm of just super successful. And, you know, guys like him and Dave Grohl are a real inspiration for all musicians, I think, that are just taking on so many projects and creating so much success for themselves.
You know, Dave Grohl is one of those guys, you know, obviously the whole Nirvana thing and then starting Foo Fighters as a vocalist, you listen to the first, you know, couple Foo Fighters albums to where he is now. It's unbelievable how much he's changed vocally, man.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite people in rock music, and I'm sure a lot of people would say that. But, I mean, their last album was unbelievable. I just fell in love with that one immediately.
Yeah, man. That's just one of those bands that, you know, Dave Grohl's kind of that staple, you know, at least there's always that constant. And he's always, you know, kind of been true to what he wants to do with rock and music and respect that guy a whole lot, man. But switching gears on you a little bit, you know, obviously you guys no stranger to being on the road and stuff. I mean, talked to a lot of, you know, people about being on the road. Is there any like towns that you've been to or any strange venues that you can recall where you're like, oh man, this venue's like the setup's weird or, you know, anything like that you recall at all?
There's been so many that it gets pretty hazy. I try to remember some of the better venues, I guess. I mean, I do, there are some pretty gnarly venues out there, but, last summer we went on tour with Whitesnake actually for a little bit. And that was a cool situation because we had never been on a tour where we were playing, 2,000-3,000 seater, theaters every night, so the venues were all just like fantastic. And I mean, one of the best ones was the one in San Francisco. It's slipping my mind the name of it, but I mean, those kinds of venues are absolutely my favorite. The theater settings with the, you know, the high ceilings that have great acoustics, and those kinds of venues, I think they help with our music because our music, I think, does a lot better in open space. Of course, I love the nasty, dirty clubs and stuff too. So, I mean, they all have their different little vibes and attitudes, but, overall, I can't specifically think of one place that I didn't like. I've always just been kind of happy that I'm able to be out there doing it.
Right. Well, obviously playing live shows also comes with, you know, being out there at the merch table, meeting fans and stuff, which, you know, I imagine you guys really dig that too. And I think most bands do. Do you have any, like bizarre, or, just awkward, merch table moments that you can share?
Awkward merch moments.
It sounds like a reality show on Fox, I know, but.
I mean, there's always moments where people come up and they're way too drunk to be trying to talk to you. Right. That happens from time to time, and the people that are falling over and whatnot. But I don't know. I mean, I've never had too many awkward moments at the merch table. I'm generally one of the main faces of the merch table just because I like to be out there and, you know, interacting with fans and being a face of the band and whatnot. But, I don't know. I mean, it's just great meeting all the people, and, you know, whether it's an awkward moment or not, like we're all out there, you know, trying to get exposure and meet as many people as we can. So.
Very cool, man. Well, I'll tell you what, the next song we've got coming up on the show is Paralyzed. You guys all have a video for it as well, which is a performance video. What can you talk to me about this track, lyrically for you? And also, do you guys like doing the performance videos? I think it's kind of an old school way of doing it. And I think it's really well shot as well.
Well, we hadn't done one of those for a while. I mean, I guess we did one on You Don't Get It, kind of, but that had a theme idea too. We just kind of wanted to get in there and no acting, no actors, and just kind of have a cool, simplistic, you know, image of us performing. And I'm really happy with that video. You know, we did a storyline video for Dumb Luck, and that kind of thing was a great experience too. And like being out in Hollywood and being on movie sets and stuff like that. But, you know, we kind of just went simplistic with this. And, you know, Paralyzed is a straightforward rock song for us. It's, you know, been in our arsenal for a while, and we finally managed to get it on a record. And, you know, lyrically for me, it's about, you know, trials and tribulations with relationships and adversities and in situations where you've got to make decisions and you have to move forward. And, you know, people get hurt and, yeah, it's not what, you know, you always want to, you know, you want to please everybody, but you can't. It's impossible. Right. And it's just about staying true to what you know you need to be doing and trying to move forward. Because if you let too much of that stuff get to you, you know, it'll hinder you and keep you in a state of paralysis. So that's lyrically kind of where that song goes for me.
Michael, what? Well, I think that's well said, man. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break, man. We'll jam this track out and we'll come back and chat some more. Is that cool with you, man?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. This is Redline Chemistry, Paralyzed, here on Revelator.
Just a little pretentious. Don't you?
Redline Chemistry of Paralyzed here on Revelator, hanging out with Brett, the lead singer from the band. Okay, man, I ask a lot of bands this question, and you're like, oh, man, here we go. How do we come up with the name? But you can talk about that if you want. But I'm always interested about what names did not make the cut. Do you remember any names that you guys came up with that, you know, didn't make the cut?
Oh, man, there were so many. Finding a name for a band is really hard, man, especially nowadays. All the one-word names are generally taken. But I can't think of anything that would, like, blow people's mind as, like, something crazy. But if there was one or two that I remember, I think we had came across, like, The Nothing, which was, you know, that's a old-school Never-Ending Story reference. Didn't go with that. I had been kind of privy to the name Silver Gun, but didn't go with that. There was too much stuff out there like that, I guess. I don't know. Finding the name, like I said, it's everybody in the band at some point or another thinks one of them sucks. So, or it's taken, or there's five other bands out there that have it or whatnot. But we settled on Redline Chemistry. It's really just about, you know, how we interact with each other and, you know, and how bad we wanted it. And, you know, our work ethic. I just kind of paired up, you know, like the tachometer on a car with an engine redlining and, you know, combined with the chemistry within the band. And, you know, we had a great, we're all great friends, and I just kind of felt like it was a cool name.
Did you guys all know one another, like, in high school kind of thing, or met separately? Or
a couple of them did. Dave and Andy played in a band together in high school. Everybody's been around the scene in Kansas City for a long time. I was in a different band, a couple different bands, and then they came on the scene as another band, and then mine kind of fell by the wayside, and they rearranged and came to me to sing, and I joined up with them, and now it's been 10 years, so it's worked.
Well, man, I encourage you guys to keep doing what you're doing, man. Obviously, you know, again, I think the record's great, and just, you know, keep out there and, you know, keep doing what you guys are doing, and keep writing good material. Now, I know in an interview a while back, you mentioned, you know, you have a pretty diverse taste in music, and I think most people, you know, try to mix it up. You can't listen to just hard rock and heavy metal constantly, so you always mix it up. You know, you mentioned that you kind of like some of the 80s pop stuff a little bit. If you were to cover an 80s pop song, what song would you cover?
I think I've heard one recently of this song, but a while back, I was always trying to get our band to cover Beds Are Burning by Midnight Oil.
Nice.
That was always a tune that I really dug. But I love all that music from that era. And there's tons of songs that would work for. I mean, they're successful songs for a reason. So they would certainly work for cover songs. But we never have gone that route. We did a cover song of "Running Down a Dream," Tom Petty, and we were playing that live for a while. But we never did record that either.
Very cool. Now, Tom Petty, have you ever had a chance to see him live? Man, I got to see him live. It was years ago, but man, he was unbelievable live, man.
I saw him on the Wildflowers tour, I think, in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, just unbelievable. Just, you know, he played for, you know, when I saw him, and he played for like a couple hours. Just, you know, just remarkable. Just, you know, it's like hit after hit after hit. You know,
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
The amount of songs that guy has written, man. Now, you mentioned, you know, obviously, you know, as a full-time musician now, you said you're helping a friend doing some painting and stuff today. Do you remember a daytime job that you had before you really got into being a full-time musician that it was just, you know, dreadful? Any recall?
Well, most of them.
Right.
No, I mean before we got signed and quit our jobs, I was actually a freight broker, which that sounds about as boring as it is. But, I mean, I was in the business world, you know. I got a business degree, from the University of Kansas, so go Jayhawks. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't like being in the cubicle office world. I was literally trying to subsidize an income until I could get my band off the ground. And, you know, I'm always going to be looking for other things as well. I think I don't know that music will always be, you know, 100% thing. I mean, having a lot of things burning at one time, I think, is a good way to stay renewed. So, you know, but I don't see myself going back into that type of world. As of right now, just trying to keep the music rolling.
Right on. Now, moving in, obviously, you know, spring and summer is a big touring season for a lot of bands. What are your guys' future plans at this point for the new year?
Right now, we're just kind of hitting some regional stuff. Kind of took a little break for the holidays and the new year, and probably looking to get back, hopefully, out in the spring and get back to all the markets we love and cover some more ground.
Very cool, man. Well, I'm in the Nashville area, man. So if you guys are in the Nashville area, definitely let me know, man. Let me come out and see you guys.
Yeah, definitely will. I can't wait to get back to Nashville. That's where we actually recorded the record.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't realize that.
We recorded at Blackbird Studios.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. We've had a couple of artists that have recorded there. Seems a lot of people are coming here to, you know, Nashville. Everyone's like, oh, Nashville's just, you know, country town. There's a lot more rock and roll going on in this town than I think that people realize.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a mecca just like L.A.
Yeah, man, definitely. Well, Brett, we close out tonight, man, with the song Unspoken, another pretty cool cut from the album, man. What would you like to – is there any setup that we need to know for this song, man?
Yeah, this is a similar, you know, track for me. It's, I don't know, paralyzed maybe. For me, it was about internal conflict. But when most people hear it, they immediately think of, you know, a relationship going awry, which but this tune for me was more about looking in the mirror.
Very cool, man. Now, if people are interested in Redline Chemistry and finding out more what you guys have coming up in the new year, how can they do so and find out more information about you guys?
Redlinechemistry.com. We're active on our Facebook. We personally manage that and love hearing from fans. And those are the two biggest avenues. We're on Twitter and Instagram and all that. Just keep up with us on Facebook and check our events. And we look forward to getting back out on the road.
Very cool, man. Well, hey, Brett, thanks for taking the time out, and best of luck to you guys, and you have yourself a nice day, man.
Hey, you too. Thanks for having me, man.
Don't be
Redline Chemistry here on Revelator. That is Unspoken off the album Tug of War. Really great CD. And again, thanks to Brett from the band for stopping in, doing the interview for us. Really cool dude. More information about Redline Chemistry in this particular episode of Revelator, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Click on episode number 44. Also, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Also find me, Ryan, on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. And, yeah, I'm tweeting all kinds of interesting, crazy things. And now you never know what you're going to hear. You know, I don't even know sometimes, so it's hard to tell. But moving on, you know, Super Bowl 48 is coming up. And everyone's complaining, oh, it's cold. It's in New York. Shut up. Are you going to the game? Are you going to the game to watch Set in the Cold? No? Okay. Did you pay tickets to go to the Super Bowl? The hangout weekend, the media is complaining. Oh, poor media members. You get to go to New York for a whole week and you're complaining because it's cold because you're covering the Super Bowl. It's really starting to piss me off a little bit. It really is. Did you pay tickets to get into the Super Bowl? Don't complain that it's cold. Are you sitting at home watching it? Don't complain that it's going to be cold outside. Are you part of the media that's probably not paying to go anyway and getting your way paid to go there and spending a week in New York City going to all kinds of different parties and stuff to cover the Super Bowl and you're complaining that it's going to be cold? Enough already. It should be a good game. Seahawks, Broncos, it's really a tale of best offense versus best defense, I think. But I think Denver's defense may be a little better than people think. But I think the key is, can the Denver front seven stop Marshawn Lynch? No one stopped Marshawn Lynch all year. So I'm going to take the Seahawks in a nail biter. 34-31 Seahawks at MetLife Stadium in New York. Should be a really good one. And it's only been 49 years since the Browns have won a championship at all. And there you go. Wow. And then we head into the offseason, the draft, and all those good things. And now we'll start talking a little bit of NBA, too. We haven't talked a whole lot of NBA really at all this season. It's been kind of anticlimactic a little bit, probably because the Eastern Conference is absolutely dreadful outside of Miami and Indiana. And the Western Conference is very, very competitive like it always is. But, you know, again, we'll get into the NBA All-Star weekend. It's only a couple weeks away now, so we'll cover all that stuff. Hopefully the dunk contest is good this year. And this is a funny bit that I got to credit Mike for finding this one. And I don't know what the setup is, but Mike, what's the setup here for us?
Yeah, it's two female news anchors, and they're just talking about an event that one of them actually hosts, and it's for a charity.
This is good stuff right here.
It's a sausage competition that I judge.
Oh, in like sausage eating?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. King of the Kubasa and local sausage makers, they all make their best and they enter it.
I bet it's delicious.
It is. It's February 9th, 7 p.m. at Prairie Land Park. Tickets are only $25. It's for charity, and you can get tickets online at Pick.
Oh, no. Well, you're thinking about sausage. So.
Pick a dick. Oh, my goodness. That was ridiculous, wasn't it?
We were not drinking wine today.
No, we weren't. We weren't.
Now, that was a really good event.
It is. King of the Kubasa. So go to pickadick.com.
Well, you can tell she's really looking forward to that event, right? It's pick a what? It's a oh, she's judging the competition. Oh well. Make sure your sausage is cooked thoroughly before eating. Well, that about concludes everything I've got for you here on this episode of Revelator. Next week we've got a really really cool hip young band from the Cincinnati area called The String Theory. So definitely stop by. Really cool stuff from those guys. And we keep marching right along episode after episode. Awesome music guest after awesome music guest. Keep it right here on Revelator. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 44, Chemistry with Colby. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.